forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's April 22nd, 2014, and this is episode number 79. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with entrepreneur Wilfred Martis. Let's get right to the interview. Today to Wilfred Martis, who is the founder of a startup called Chariots. And Wilfred, thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to start off by confessing that I am not your target market. I drive a Ford Focus that has roll down windows. I'm just not a car person the way it sounds like you are. But it was exactly that intrigued me about your idea. Because there must be a culture out there, a subculture that loves cars and trucks as much as you do. And I wanted you to start, if you could, by telling me about that, how you fit into that culture of car lovers and what made you think of this idea and what the company is all about.
Yes, Chariots is a site that we built to help you drive something unique. Even if you just have a Ford Focus, you can come to our site and it'll solve a lot of issues when it comes to you wanting to drive something unique if you choose to. So what does that mean? Well, today there are several photo sites like Pinterest, Instagram, and several other photo sites. They have tons of pictures of cool cars and can really inspire car lovers. But where they fall short is in providing those car lovers with specific ideas for their own cars and then information on what modification restoration was done to those cars. And then connect them with the businesses who do have the products and skills who can help them turn those ideas into reality.
So
with Chariot, we've solved everything. We have every car has a complete story. And the stories not only provide inspiration to car lovers like all the other photo-based sites do, but we also give them very specific ideas and information and connections to turn their cars into this.
And so this impulse to drive something unique, I'm guessing that is an impulse that you personally had and that this idea perhaps came out of that. Is that something that you can talk a little bit about? Have you always been a car and truck lover yourself?
Yeah, I've always been a car lover. In fact, I call this venture of mine a jobby because cars have always been a big hobby for me. And if I can make it also a job, then life is good. So I think America in general is a big car culture. Everybody wants to stand out, and that's why you see people driving exotics and classic cars, and you know, putting new wheels and new body kits, tuning up the performance, etc. So I think the car culture plus the site, it works really well together.
Right. And so who are your customers? If you can kind of give me a profile, who are the kinds of people who have an interest in customizing their cars? And can you also just give an example of what are some things that people actually do based on the inspiration from your site?
Sure. So on Chariots, there are two constituents. One is the content creation side. So on the content creation side, if I'm a car lover, say I'm a high school kid and I just got my first car and I've modified the car and I want to show it off. I don't just want to show it off in the physical world, but I also want to show it off in the online world. I'll go post my car on Chariot and using very high quality pictures and then very simple tags. So what the tags do is they contain very valuable information on the actual products used to customize the car as well as the work performed. And there's also the other content creation side, which is the businesses that actually modify cars. So they also go and upload their products and their projects to showcase their work. On the other side, the other constituent is the content consumption side, which is car lovers who come to the site and say, you know, I want to do something with my car, but I don't know what it is. And they come there, they get inspired, they collect ideas, they narrow it down because you can search by make, model, year. You can search by, if you just want to do wheels, you can say, I just want to look for a Ford Focus with customized wheels. and gives them very specific ideas. And then once they find those cars, they can click on the tags and say, okay, well, this one has wheels from HRE, which is a big brand in the U.S., and it was done by Element Wheels in Arizona. And so it gives them the information that then they can go buy the HRE wheels either through a dealer or directly from HRE, or they can call Element Wheels and say, hey, I want to put new wheels on my Ford Focus, and Element Wheels will create the package and ship it to them, or do the work installation themselves.
Got it.
So that's the constituent who's the actual customer here.
Yeah. And can I pry and ask, where will your revenue come from? Is it the companies that provide these kinds of parts and components, or how does that work?
Yeah, so absolutely. One of the biggest revenue generators will be the businesses that sell these aftermarket products. For example, there are over 500 aftermarket wheel brands in the U.S., over 500. And they're looking to stand out from the rest of the folks. So they're one big revenue generator. Shops that then go and install or do the work around the modifications, they're another revenue generator because they're looking for ways to market themselves too. But there's also the holy grail for me, and that is auto manufacturers and dealers. A lot of auto manufacturers are getting into the customization business. I mean, if you go to standard, you know, manufacturer dealer lots, where you find a few cars that are customized, and the value proposition they sell there is you're going to look different from all the other stock cars we sell. For us, we give them a great way to advertise and market the customization of their vehicles or customizability of their vehicles.
Got it. And the last question I wanted to end on, because of course WorkStu is all about the thought process that people go to find what it is that they should really be doing with their lives. Do you feel with this venture that you've found it? Does it feel meaningfully different from, you know, the various other jobs and ventures that you've taken on in the past?
Absolutely. So I was trained an engineer, and I worked in the semiconductor field at Intel for over 15 years, and it always felt, no matter how much fun I was having, it always felt like a job. And now it doesn't feel like a job because I am building something and going after a market that happens to be one of my biggest hobbies, which is automotive. And I think you realize later on in life what's important about your career and your life in general, that if you get to work on something you're very passionate about, that it doesn't seem like work and it gives you a lot more satisfaction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck with it. I look forward to following this story and wish you all the best.
Great. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you so much.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Wilfred Martis. Thanks also to everyone who's written an essay for WorkStu. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstu.com, by posting a comment on the WorkStu website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.